Well, let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the great gift of your holy word, and we do ask that you now speak to us about what it means to follow you with all our heart. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I was a child, I used to play a game. And the game was called Who Gets the Biggest Slice? My mother used to make these delicious chocolate cakes. Well, she still does. And whenever a cake was brought out, I'd play this game. And of course, I always wanted to be the winner. So how did you play this game? Well, let me give you an example. I'd be sitting there with my brother, Bruce, my friend, Jamie, say, and my mum and my dad. And no matter how hard my mum tried to slice the cake equally, you knew that one piece was going to be bigger than all the rest. The aim of the game was to get your hands onto that biggest piece. And you could be very cunning, because if you were the first person to receive a piece of cake, you would hold it and just keep your eye on how big the next slice was going to be. If you thought you had the biggest slice, you'd say, "Thanks, Mum." If you thought the next piece was going to be bigger, though, you'd pass it on to Jamie. Guests first, Jamie, of course, pretending to be polite. So, at first glance, those slices of cake might appear to be of equal size, but you can see quite clearly that Peter there has got the biggest slice. Now, the other way you could play the game, if you're really mean, is to see if you could get your brother to get the smallest slice. And if you look there, the slice in red is slightly smaller than the rest, and of course I'd make sure my brother got that slice. That was really mean, because my brother was actually a fair person, and I remember him pouring out glasses of Coke, and he'd spend ages trying to make sure they were completely equal. So he was much nicer than me. Am I alone in doing that as a child? I was just being greedy, of course. When we grow up, however, we continue to play this game. And it's not always a game, sometimes it's just a problem we face. Because there's only so many hours in the day, and we have to make decisions. Who gets the largest slice of my time? Who gets the largest slice of my life? And if we think about what we do, we might find that when we're in our prime, most of our time is spent at work. That's just the way life is. We might not like it, but we all have to work, or as a child, go to school. When we get home from work, we spend time with our family. They need a slice of our life. And then we have friends. We like spending time with friends. We need to support them so they get a slice of our life. And we need time to unwind, don't we? We like to have some time reading a book, going out to the golf course, just watching TV. So a bit of fun. And we're Christian, we're in church, so of course we want to make sure that we have some time for God at church, maybe in a small group, by ourselves in prayer. Now this diagram isn't accurate, as you can probably recognise, because all the slices are equal. But I've already said that in our working life, work or school takes up the majority of the day. Then we get home and we spend some time with family. We want to have some time with friends and fun. The problem is, by the time all of that is fitted into our busy life, we find God gets squeezed just to a very small slice, maybe an hour in church on a Sunday, if nothing else gets in the way, maybe an hour at home group or a few minutes in prayer. The question is, what does God think about this? Is that how he wants our life to be? So we need to come to the reading, our second reading, the words Jesus said. Now this teacher of the law has come to Jesus and he's asked the question, what is the greatest command? Well, we know that in the Old Testament there were the Ten Commandments. But then Moses got a load more commandments. And I believe some boffin has worked it out to be 633 commandments. And so the teachers of the law and the religious establishment like to talk with each other and discuss, out of all these commandments, which is the greatest? Which one should I spend the biggest slice of my time, my life, concentrating on? The reply from Jesus actually is quite an eye-opener. Don't think about all these individual commands. No, put them all together into a pot and see the greater principle, which is love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and therefore love your neighbour as yourself. What God is saying then is, I don't just want a slice of your busy life. I want the whole cake. I want all of you. Well, that makes us scratch our heads and think, well, what does that mean? God wants all of us? Does that mean we should move into a monastery, spend all of our life in prayer? Is that what God is asking? I don't think so. And to help explain, we're going to come back to the chocolate cake. And according to the internet, Mary Berry makes the best chocolate cake. That's a bit of an outrageous claim, you may think. I might say that my mum makes the best chocolate cake, or certainly Lisa makes the best chocolate brownies. You might say Janet Baker makes the best cakes in Elmswell. But according to the internet, Mary Berry makes the best chocolate cakes. And I've got a recipe here. And so at all age, I asked for people to guess the ingredients of the cake she makes. So I won't quiz you. But this is her recipe. And there's all these different ingredients. Eggs, flour, sugar, butter, baking powder, cocoa powder, some boiling water and a little icing sugar to serve, not shown in the picture. But what makes it a chocolate cake? It's the cocoa powder. And the cocoa powder, when we bake a cake, it's all mixed together. We don't leave the ingredients in separate piles in the cake, in the baking tray, put it in the oven. If we did that, it would mean that our first slice would be nothing but sugar. The next slice would be nothing but egg. And then somebody would get all the cocoa powder. No, it's got to be mixed up. The cocoa powder penetrates every bit of the cake. There's probably still some cocoa powder down there from the first service when I got to Evie to mix it all up together. But Jesus said something similar. He said the kingdom of God is like dough. And if you don't put yeast in it, the bread will be flat. If you put yeast and just left it in one little blob, you get mostly flat bread, but one, I imagine one little bit would rise. No, you've got to mix it right the way through the cake, right the way through the dough, and the whole bread, the whole loaf is affected. And same here. The chocolate cake, to be chocolate, must have the cocoa powder in every bit. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. So what I've done is I've put the cake back together, but left our busy lives up there. I've taken out the God slot, the God slice. Perhaps I should have left church up there. But the point is, God shouldn't just be a slice of our life. He should be in all of our life. Just like the cocoa powder penetrates every bit, God should penetrate every bit of our life, whether we're at work or school, whether it's in our family life or with our friends or even just by ourselves. And with God in our life, we should also have the love of God in our life. And that should penetrate the whole cake as well. So when we go to work, we should love our boss. When we get home and we're with our family, we should love our family. and our friends. And even when we're by ourselves, we should look for something to do that is godly and not immoral. God wants to be in every part of our life. So when we head off, when we head come back from work or school, I gave the example of a child coming in, they might want to immediately hit their brother. If they've got the love of God in them, they won't do that. They will love their brother. Well, that might be a big ask. So we ask, well, how can we do this? How can we live up to this standard? It is a high standard. Well, that's why we had our first Bible reading. And there's an important line. They're all important words in that reading, but there's a very important line. We love because God loved us first. How has God loved us? Well, he made us. And he saved us when Jesus died on the cross. When we remember how much God has loved us, well, out of thankfulness, we will love God in return and love others. And also because Jesus has died for our sins and cleanses us, he should take away some of that selfishness. And so, well, in that case, I would let my brother have the biggest slice of cake, not me. Because my selfishness, my sin is taken away, I should be able to love more freely. But of course, perhaps most importantly of all, when we become a Christian, God fills our lives with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God with us, and he should enable us to take the love of God that has been given to us and let it flow outwards to other people. So in our busy lives, if we let God penetrate every bit and his love, the love of God through the Holy Spirit should flow back to God and to other people. We need to make him our priority, not just a little slice. So let me close with the example at the end of our second reading. Jesus went out and he sat down in the temple and he could see the place where everybody put in their offerings. And along came a rich man. And he looked quite impressive. He put many coins into the collection. It looked as if he wanted a round of applause. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Look at me, I am so wonderful and godly. It was wonderful that the man put that money in. He didn't have to. But Jesus knew that he was showing off. Jesus knew that back home the man had lots of wealth and was just giving a little bit. He only loved God a little bit. He only gave God a small slice of his life. But then came along a widow, and she did not look impressive as she only put in two small coins. But her attitude was so different. She was thinking, God loves me, I owe him everything. I only have two coins, but he can have the lot. She loved God with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her mind, with all her strength. When she got back home, she would have seen an empty fridge and would have had to trust God to provide. Now, God is not asking us to go home and empty our fridges for the food bank. But the point he's making is God our priority? Do we give himself our whole life and take the love of God into all that we do? Because that is the greatest commandment. We cannot achieve it in our own strength, but when we remember how God has loved us, how he made us, how he died for our sins, we can do it out of thankfulness. We can do it because he takes away our sins. We can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants the whole cake. That is the greatest commandment. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you so loved us, that you sent Jesus to be our Saviour. In response, help us to give our lives to you. Help you to be our priority. For us to love you completely. And may that love then just naturally flow out so that we love our neighbours. This is the greatest commandment. And with the Holy Spirit's power, we can do this. So come, Holy Spirit, and enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.